excited to have Melissa with us this morning. They moved to Tennessee almost a year ago, and they're back in town for her husband's work for the long weekend. But it's great to have you, Melissa, with us singing today, and all of you sharing with us this morning. Very, very good. Well, in a season that's all about peace, it seems like we kind of struggle with that particular one, is peace. Maybe there's such a struggle because maybe, as you all know, there's so many things that go on in our lives this time of year, particularly this month. Or maybe the holiday season itself is filled with opportunities that kind of go in directions we're not really excited about, because maybe there is some strife in our families, or maybe there's bickering going on, or maybe things that we're worried about or stressed about, and we just kind of feel like we're not at peace or we're not at rest. People today, it seems like you just get together and there's always seems to be like some tension that exists. And so maybe we say things like, well, I just want, and you can fill in the blank, I just would love it if, or if it were going this way, I just feel so much more at peace. So you think of that word peace, I think of the word, it's like being whole or complete or something's in alignment. Because when things are not in alignment, when they're kind of askew, there's just unrest. So this word peace, it has lots of feelings attached to it. But I just know one thing that's certain, and I think we'd all agree with it. We all want it. Regardless of our definition, I think we all want peace. So what we're doing in this season of Advent here at Trinity this year in our sermon series, our theme or our title is Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. And they speak to what we all desire. We all desire hope. We all desire peace. We all desire joy and love. And Jesus has names ascribed to him that reflect those very themes. Today, I want to just kind of zero in on one of them. And it's reflected in a passage maybe you've heard before from Isaiah chapter 9, where Jesus is our peace. Where it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." Our Prince of Peace. It seems like during his time here on earth, Jesus was about restoring peace everywhere he went. He calmed storms. He brought healing to the sick. He raised the dead to life. He forgave sinners their sins. It was all about him bringing types and forms of peace to people. And he came not just to restore peace, as we understand maybe the ending of hostility, but just a full harmony of life. The Prince of Peace brings peace. Now, we normally think of Christmas, when we think of Christmas, we think of Christmas as an event. And yes, Christmas is an event that we celebrate. It is the birth of Jesus. But it's more than just an event. I think we need to, if you kind of look at it in a different way, it kind of changes things. If you look at Christmas as a proclamation, it's a proclamation of peace. So for our purposes today, we're going to kind of look at it in two different ways, two types of peace. There's this outside of ourselves type of peace. We'll call that peace with God. And an inside of ourselves type of peace that we'll just call a peace of mind. Peace with ourselves, peace with people around us. That outside of ourselves type of peace, a peace with God. And Scripture talks about having peace with God. And if by just saying that, it must imply that something is not right. Something is kind of out of alignment. And it's sin that put us out of alignment with God. In Isaiah, again, it says in chapter 53, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Not on us, it was put on him. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been declared right with God because of Jesus. And this ultimately is why Jesus came. So, Charlie, in a sense, that's what Christmas is all about. He came for that purpose. God has established peace because of the work of Jesus Christ, his Son, and he declared it. So here's the thing. We no longer need to hide from God. We do not need to feel like we need to hide from God. I've thought this, maybe you have at times. Do you ever think that God would love you more if, fill in the blank, if I did this, I think God would love me more? Or to think that God maybe has this thought roll around in his mind, I'm kind of disappointed in you. And we feel like we've let him down or we've disappointed him. Feel that God is disappointed or upset with you because you don't. If only I had done this, or if only this, or only that, God would love me more. God would not be so disappointed in me. It's so hard to comprehend the truth that God is not angry with us. We have peace with God through Christ. It's a real thing. So peace in this sense, it's not an emotional feeling. It's an existence entirely separate from us because it's a peace that comes from God to us. It's kind of an objective position where we find ourselves in because God has ceased to be hostile toward us. He's reconciled us to himself. So here's the question. Do you want to know if God loves you? It's a very simple question. Do you want to know if God loves you? Look at what he did. He entered into our world. He identified with us. He died in our place. He lives to intercede for us. He loves us. On earth, Jesus' birth brings an announcement, a declaration, a proclamation of peace. See, God intends Jesus' birth to be good news for all humanity. Unfortunately, there are people who reject him, don't think they need it, don't want it. And so the peace with God that they could have, they don't know. See, Jesus entered into Jerusalem to accomplish what was necessary for peace in heaven. He went to the cross and died, took upon himself the consequences for our sin. That act made possible a kingdom of peace, a declaration from God to you. Now, see, there's a byproduct of that. There's a byproduct of being at peace with God. Because the peace that comes from God affects our inner peace. It's that peace that we could say we feel inside. We feel it in our heart and our spirit. Because the peace of God is this inner sense of security and serenity that comes from experiencing Christ's work for us. We know that everything's okay. To be at peace is an amazing thing. About 2 weeks ago, we had a family member die. My aunt-in-law, beautiful person, all her life did so many things for other people, just celebrated life. But here's the thing. She had never really, truly ever kind of had that peace with God in her life. A dear, dear friend went to see her in the hospital and said, hey, where are you at right now? Do you feel at peace knowing that maybe you're not going to be here forever, that you're going to die? Do you want that peace that God can give and receive that gift of love and his forgiveness and that grace? And she said, yes. And she opened her heart and received that and had that sense of peace. About an hour or so after that friend visited, I went and saw her, and I just wanted to see her and say hi and acknowledge again that peace. We had a really good conversation. We prayed together. She just had a sense of peace about her. A few hours later, she passed. She died just a couple hours later. And talking to her granddaughter that was with her when she died, she said there was just this incredible peace that her grandmother had when she kind of just passed. And the peace in her heart, knowing that she just felt right with God. What an amazing thing to know that I'm at peace with God because he's at peace with us. There could be nothing greater. That peace of mind with ourselves, with other people. And there's just so much turmoil, as I said, in the world again today. It's interesting. Some years ago, Duke University, their sociology department, did kind of a survey on a study of what constitutes peace of mind. And so they looked at some factors that kind of are kind of consistent. And as you hear some of these things, you begin to say, well, that's kind of biblical. The absence of suspicion and resentment, nursing a grudge, was a major factor in unhappiness. Not living in the past, and an unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures lead to depression. Not wasting time and energy fighting conditions that you cannot change. Refusing to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Except the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. Do not expect too much of yourself when there is too wide a gap between self-expectation and your ability to meet the goals you have set. Feelings of inadequacy are inevitable. And also find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest in any test for measuring happiness. Good stuff. Here's something we can all do tonight. If you remember, when you're laying in bed, tell yourself this: I am forgiven. As you're laying there in bed, tell yourself, I'm forgiven. And then tell God your worries, your cares, the things that are weighing you down right now. Give them to God. Jesus said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Why? He wants us to be at peace. The why for all of this? Again, God desires that we be whole, that we, in a sense, would feel complete, that we would be in alignment with things. And again, the coming of Jesus declares peace between us and God. It's about what has been declared to us. Who needs to know this? My guess is everyone needs to know this. How can we celebrate this and incorporate this? Maybe we begin by just saying, you know what? I really need Christmas for what it really is. Because if we say, I really need Christmas, it's our way of saying, you know what? I just need a Savior. I need someone who's come to just kind of come alongside of me in life, and I need that forgiveness to know that I'm right with God. And I need that gift that He offers me and receive that peace. Also, maybe in the traditions of what we do, maybe one thing that you do is you have that manger scene that you bring out every year. You think of the typical one, you unpack it, and there are all the pieces. You know, you have maybe it's the stable, and you have the cows and the sheep, the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, maybe wise men. But the central character, the most prominent piece, is perhaps the smallest. But it's clearly the most important. Because without that peace, the rest of the scene is useless. It doesn't really mean anything. Because with that little peace, the scene finds meaning for you and everyone who sees it. And that little peace is the center of the scene. Lying in a manger is your peace. It's Jesus. Jesus who is wrapped in cloths, laid in a manger. He is God's answer to your anxiety and worry. He is God's remedy to fear. He's your savior from sin and death. Jesus is the center not only of that scene, but of the scene of your life. He comes to live with you and in you. He comes to be the center of the season. He comes to be our peace. As we continue to move into December, may that be the thing on our minds. And we think about all the things going on, just ask God to give you a sense of peace. Let this be our prayer today as we end this message and continue. Let's pray together. God, I just pray that you would help fill all of my interactions in life this season with a sense of your peace. Where there is worry, just bring reassurance. Where there is strife, bring to mind your humility. Where there is bickering, bring to mind and heart your love. God, be my peace today. Be my peace through this season. Thank you for your love for me. Thank you for your forgiveness. May my heart today receive that amazing gift. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the great assurances that we have as God's people, as children, is what he gives us in the gift that he gave us in the Lord's Supper.